Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
You know, I love the Word of God, and I love sharing the Word of God, and I feel an honor and privilege to be able to do that with you today. We're going to start off in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 14. Today I'm going to talk to you about faith in three dimensions, three-dimensional faith, and I believe that God's going to speak to us through this particular portion of Scripture, verses 1 through 14, then we'll go on to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. I know you can do better than that. Come on now. Pick it up. Okay. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. There you go. No, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
So when he heard that he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was.
Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again.
The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are going there again?
Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world.
But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him.
These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps. Let us, that I may wake him up. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking by taking rest in sleep.
Then Jesus said to them, Lazarus is dead.
Now faith is a substance of things hoped for. Oh, we going somewhere with this today. But the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3 together, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that were not made are visible. Come on, let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to talk about three dimensions of faith. I pray, God, that I can at least make an impact on what the things you've given me to share. Lord, today you're going to set some people free. You are, because of some things ideas they have about faith. But Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith, that you build our faith upon you, the stable rock and foundation of all that we know and we say and we do. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may now be seated. You know, I wrote down just a couple of words to kind of start this message, and then I want to just kind of launch out into a place I hope will be helpful to all of you. First of all, the mystery of faith is the one thing that most of us will want to find clarity when we see Jesus. I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, you know, there's sometimes this faith thing wasn't working for me. Come on now.
Come on, Pastor.
No, we're going to talk some truth today. We're going to talk about disappointment, disillusionment, all the things that sometimes will get a hold to us. What about this? The definition of Hebrews offers little explanation to the wonderment that overtakes us when we examine faith with logic, circumstance, fate, and other variables that seem to dominate our ability to come to the conclusions that will satisfy our need to know, or at least come to the semblance of understanding. I want to take you from the place of misunderstanding to the place of where you really will identify that God is for you no matter what. And it doesn't depend on the circumstances that you're going through right now. And hopefully through this message, you'll get a chance to shake off some of those things that have impeded your life for a long time. First thing I will talk about is faith does little to change the reality that you are facing. You say, whoa, what does that mean? Right now, some of you are facing some pretty serious medical conditions. I won't ask you to lift your hand right now, because we're going to do something about that anyway. Some of you are facing an irresolution of relationships. You've tried everything you can to get that thing fixed, and it's still broken. Some of you have kids that are just running wild, like they used to say, running hog wild and pig crazy. And you can do nothing about it. And I got to have faith for that. Let me take you to number two. Let's deal with it. Faith does nothing to deflect the feelings of desperation, of what if it doesn't change or come to pass. Oh, we're going to talk about the real stuff. Wave your hands if you want to, run the aisles if you want to, but there's still the part of you that says it may not happen. Let's move on to faith does not give you any control over the sovereignty of God, but very likely wants you to surrender control over to him. Some things you're going to have to let go of today. And this whole story of Lazarus is a story that is profound. And I'll try to get to it as best way I can. If I don't get to it today, I'll finish up next week, because I'm not going to let you off this one. Okay? Well, faith does not change the circumstances that confront you. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 and 37, the same part of Hebrews. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Let me stop right there. Hold on. These are people that trusted in God. These are people who put their life on the line. But guess what it said? They were still locked up in jail. They were still made fun of. That's what you signed up for. You thought that, oh, I have faith in God. God's going to take care of all the people that mock me. Forget about it. People are still going to hate you. But as long as God loves you, it doesn't matter. Let's move on to the next verse. Says, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted and were slain but with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Who'd want to join a band like that? That makes no sense. Rational people don't join a losing team. But that's not about a losing team, because before that, it talked about all the things people had gone through, and in spite of all that, God still brought them through. Yes. Now, here's where we go with this. Faith is a doorway to discover hope to overcome the evidence of what we believe is our reality. It's a doorway of hope. And I want to speak hope into your life today. I want to speak hope into you that says, well, might as well give up. It's just never going to happen. I got a word for you. God is beyond what you think. God is beyond what you feel. And I want to put something in there that you know. Well, the key to faith is the fact that Jesus is constantly concerned and aware of the things that are personally affecting us. This story of Lazarus is always intrigued me, and God gave me some insight, I believe, that will be helpful to you, because we are beloved by him and constantly on his mind. And the story starts out with, the one that you love is sick. Well, if God really loved him, why did he let him get sick? And you have asked yourself that very same question. I've served you, God. I love you, God. And now the report is I've got cancer. Come on. Or I've got this other particular disease that's not going away. And you told me you love me. If you really love me, why did you let this happen to me? Don't raise your hand. I know you're here. But I'm going to help you today that when you leave these doors, you'll have an answer from Jesus. You'll have an answer in your heart, and you'll no longer struggle with that. Well, what about this? Job's confession was founded upon a commitment to trust him regardless of the peril and pain that death can cause in our life. Now, for those of you who don't know about Job, you think you've had a bad day? And we're talking about wipeout. Read Job chapter 1 if you ever get a chance. And I'll tell you this much. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. You say, what? I thought it was Genesis. Mm-mm. The oldest written book in the Bible. So, well, Genesis is the creation. Yeah, but the oldest book that's created, and it's about a man who God allows to go through some stuff, and God just pretty much offers, go ahead. He said, what? Read it. But I want to give you just a little bit of his testimony in Job chapter 1, verse 21. After all of his, you know, his livestock were killed, after, you know, they came and raided his camp, took a bunch of his stuff, after all his children were killed in one day by a windstorm, you think you've gone through some bad stuff? Really? But this is his confession. In verse 20, it says, Job robe, tore his robes, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped. I'm going to teach you one thing, or teach us one thing today, that there's never an excuse not to worship God. It may have been the worst day of your life, but you know what? God has designed you to be a worshiper in spite of what's going on. We'll revisit that again. But the idea behind it was, the Bible says, after he went through all this, he fell on the ground and he worshiped. And this is what he said. Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some say, I'm done. Until God restores all this stuff, some of you are on boycott. Well, help us, Jesus. Faith will be tested when we're confronted by situations that involve those we love. I'm no different than you. When my children are sick or they're going through a tough problem, it affects their daddy. And the first response that I want to have is I want to fix it. And you know, there's been times when God said, leave it alone. I got this. And that's hard for you to do because some of you right now are still trying to fix it. I got a word for you from the Lord. Let it go. Because you don't know how and you're going to mess it up. Thank you very much. God don't need your help. You enabling folks out there, God bless your hearts. Now, the story starts out, they get a message. Jesus gets a message that says, the one whom you love is sick. And then the mystery applies here. Even sickness can bring glory to God. He says, and when Jesus was invited into the situation, we must be willing to wait upon his response without questioning his timing. And so the Bible says here, you know, they said, the one who's sick, he says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Oh, yippee. I got the flu. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Bring the sniffles on. Bring all the things. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know you ain't happy about that. Quit your lying and carrying on. But when we invite Jesus into our situation, we must be willing to wait upon his response without questioning his timing. That's the key. Because the Bible says that after Jesus got the news, he stayed there two more days. Really? This is my own theory. You don't have to adopt this. I think he stayed there two more days that when he got there to make sure he was sure enough dead. Because he said, I'm going to go wake him. They said, oh, if he's just asleep, that's no problem. And finally, Jesus says, Lazarus is dead. And you know your response is? Well, what's the point in going? And that's where some of you sit here today, is that there's some things in your life that have dead or have, you know, kind of gone to the tomb. You say, well, what's the point of trusting God now? But you forget what Jesus said in the beginning. This is for the glory of God. What you're going through right now is to glorify God. It may be hard, it may be difficult, it may be painful, but God will ultimately get the glory out of what you're going through. You say, do you believe that? Yes. This side of it, I do. Yes. The other side was a rough journey. Yes. Well, we invite Jesus to the situation, we must be willing to wait upon him. We must be secure in his love for us. Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. But Abraham took a walk of faith upon a mountain to sacrifice his most precious gift, believing that God would work it out somehow. If you don't know the story of Abraham, it's an amazing story. The son of the promise that God had given him in his old age, he's near about 100 when he fathered a child. That's miraculous. Sarah was not happy at 90 being pregnant. Ask any 90-year-old and say, would you like to get pregnant? Are you kidding me? I can imagine he came home and says, baby, we gonna have a child. She says, who gonna have a child? You better find you somebody. Let me leave that alone. Dismiss. Well, anyway. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. I want repeat after me. Here. I am. Everybody say it aloud. Here. I am. God wants to do something with you today in this place. And don't you leave here until he really finishes that thing. So he said to him, he says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. For some of you, that would be a conversation over. And first of all, how are you going to tell Sarah? Baby, I'm going to take Isaac up there. I'm going to offer him as a sacrifice. And she said, at 90 years old, I went through a pregnancy. You ain't taking my baby nowhere. Because you are crazy, card-carrying crazy, okay? You know, I don't know how he got Isaac out of the house, but I guarantee he did not tell her. Am I right, ladies? Am I right? Yeah, thank you. Okay, moving on. So Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkeys, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and he split the wood and burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And this is the word of faith right here. And Abraham said to his young men, other people that were there with him, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder, what's that word there? And we will come back to you. There are some things that will not come back to you until you learn how to worship. I'll say it again. There are things that will not come back to you until you worship. This idea of you saying, well, when God does, no. You worship him in the good times, in the bad times, in the hard times, in the glorious times. There's never a time where you should not be worshiping God. But here's a story, and I believe it's going to be helpful. Worship should always be a response to Jesus when we're confronted with something that seems impossible in the flesh. When we're given direction from the Lord, we should also always respond without questioning his wisdom. I wish I was better at that. I have not perfected that. I'm not going to lie to you. But I'm a whole lot better than I was. The things that God has brought me through, brought our family through, the things he restored in my life, it's not to destroy my faith, it's increase my faith. If God can do this, he can certainly do that. The things I thought would never, ever change, God changed them. But you know what he had to do? He had to change me first. Amen. Are you ready for God to change you so he can change that? Because yes, you say, oh, well, Lord, you change that, then you'll change. No. God wants to change you so that could have an opportunity to change. Anybody students for change today? Wave your hand at me because God, you're the right people I'm talking to. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, Abraham's believing God did not waver when he was asked to sacrifice the son of his promise. I want to tell you why I believe that was. The Lord prophesied to Abraham that through this child, all nations are going to come forth and are going to be blessed. And here's our problem. Here's my problem. Is something will come up that it looks like that's not going to come true. It will look like God lied. Oh, listen to me, folks. Because some of you have actually said, or maybe not out loud, but God lied to me. He said he's going to do this, and he didn't do it. And you're upset. Oh, you're here today. And I'll tell you why you're here today, to hear this message, to straighten you out. I'm feeling something stirring up. Now look out. We must choose to find the glory of God in the midst of things that we believe will cause our faith to waver. It means our faith rests upon the promises of God. That's good. Obedience is the reinforcement of what we believe about God's word, and we can rely upon the testimony of Job to confront our doubts and disappointments. I'm not going to go there for a moment because I want to really expedite our time to say some things. If you go down to verse 16 of this story, You know, this is after Jesus explains the fact, you know, Lazarus is asleep and this type of thing. And he says Lazarus is dead. And then verse 15 or 16 says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Notice what Thomas says. And Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go with him that we may die with him. Really? Now, this is the same knucklehead that wanted to put his fingers in his side and this type of thing after Jesus died. But I'll tell you what, he wasn't always as skeptical as you thought. I don't call him Doubting Thomas. I told you I changed his name. Honest Thomas. He just said it like it was. And he's a militant to the degree, says, well, if Jesus is going there, then let's die with him. Now, here's a question for you. For those of you who know the story of Jesus and the story of Thomas, that later on after Jesus is resurrected from the dead, guess what? He's the worst skeptic there is. Unless I can put my fist in his side and my fingers in the nail position, I will not believe. What happened? I got a question for you. What happened to you that you no longer believe in Jesus like you used to? What was the situation that pushed you over the edge and says, can't possibly be true? I'm done. I'm out. I want you to marinate on that for a while, because there's one time you had faith to believe God for anything. God can do this and this type of thing. You say, oh, that was when I was early in my relationship with Jesus, but I don't believe that way anymore. Really? The Bible said from glory to glory he's changing us, not from problem to problem. From mishap to mishap, from disappointment to disappointment, God's changing me. And now the thing I used to believe God for, I'm glad God hasn't killed me. Really? Wow. Tough place. Faith does not shield us from human expectations. Got to dive into this. John chapter 11, verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. See, why the gall? I've heard you say that. You haven't said it out loud, but that's what you believe in your spirit. Jesus, if you had showed up, I wouldn't have lost my job. Or I wouldn't have this particular thing going on. That's what you believe right now. That's your reality. Let me take that apart for you. Faith's greatest obstacle is our expectation and timetable. Question for you that you don't have to answer it by lifting your hands. But what are you expecting God to do for you at this time that hasn't happened? Second part of the question, do you believe it'll ever happen? And here's what somebody say, well, I hope it will. I want to transform that hope to the reality that faith will implant in your heart based upon his word and what he's going to speak to you in the next few moments. And consider these thoughts. Faith is often a waiting game, or Jesus will often use time to strengthen our faith rather than diminish it. Every day that Jesus doesn't come through like you think he would, it shouldn't diminish your faith. It should strengthen your faith that I'll just be that much stronger. I'm going to persevere. Job's testimony was, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He says, till my dying day, I'm going to still trust God. Until I draw my last breath, it doesn't matter. I'm still staying there with Jesus. You say, are you to that result? I hope you will be, because that's the best place to be. Well, trust is the key to establishing our life around the things that really matter. So when you say, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, will never be a valid phrase for us believers. Because, you know, here's a thing that will just dispel that particular thought. Jesus is always with you. His word says, I'll never leave you. If you feel abandoned today, if you feel an emptiness in your heart right now, it's not the fact of God has moved. You moved away from him. He didn't move away from you. Because he said, I'll never leave you. Where did you go that Jesus isn't? Well, it says, where can I hide from your presence? David says, if I go to the mountaintop, if I go down to the lowest place, if I go to the lowest hell, you are always with me. God said, I'll never let you go. In your darkest hour, in your most defeated hour, God says, I'll never, ever, ever, ever leave you. Now, if you feel abandoned, maybe you never knew him. Help us, Jesus. Jesus is not your sidekick. He's your everything. He don't say, come and go along with me. He says, come, you walk with me. Well, it's going to get ruthless now. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for us right at this very moment. And consider this, we must allow our faith to overrule our timetable of what should occur and when. Martha says, Martha's a bold one. Hands on her hips. You know, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. You're late. Told us you love us, and here you come. All the disciples with you, he ain't about to do nothing. He's dead now. Might as well get hit the road, Jack. But I want to take you to another step of faith, if that's what you believe. See, I'm going to ambush you on this, huh? Here it comes. So if you'd been here, he would not have died. But here's the word that I believe that, the Holy Spirit would say to us and would say to those of you that are struggling with the very idea that God did not meet your expectation and your timetable. It says, if you were here, you know, he wouldn't have died. But he says, but Lord, verse 22. But even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Repeat after me. But even now. Say it again. But even now. Even when it looks like everything is just totally destroyed, nothing can happen, God says, I'm the God of the even now. I'm the God of the N-O-W. Oh, come on, help me with this. The Bible says now is the appointed time. God has never missed a now. Never missed one. He's always on time. Help me, Lord. The message of now is able to defy our present state of what we believe to be reality. Now means in spite of what you think. The problem is we get thinking and believing confused. Well, I don't think it'll ever happen. Why don't you just say the word, I don't believe it'll ever happen? God's not interested in your thoughts. He's interested in what you believe. Try this one. In spite of what I feel. Question, has your feelings ever been wrong? I've never felt this way before in my life. Get some Pepto-Bismol. I got one more for you. In spite of my prior experience, that's where some of you are sitting right now, and I've got to escalate this rather quickly. The majority of us sitting in this room, the reason why we don't trust God is based upon prior experiences where it didn't come through the way we thought it would. Why don't you be honest? Disappointment is one of the things that we don't do well. And so the best way for us to overcome that is to release ourselves from any expectations. And we try to say, well, it's okay if he doesn't. It's okay if he does. I'm just kind of neutral. That is a L-I-E. Well, let me fix it for you. We must live in the reality of the resurrected spirit of Christ all the times. Romans 8:11 says this. But if the same spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit who dwells in you. That means the power of the resurrected Jesus lives in you right now and can speak now to a situation that you thought would be never. Anybody ready to trade your now for never? Because that's what God wants to do. Well, amazingly enough, there's some things that will happen in that transition. Now of the Spirit brings the power of the resurrected Christ into our present circumstances, and Jesus' power to speak in life over death can be applied to situations that we would deem impossible. And what about this? The power of the resurrection is available even now. You don't have to wait till Easter Sunday morning. God wants to bring you out of the grave of your disappointment. He wants to take you away from those places that have kept you captive. But let me take you quickly to David. Had to abandon his desire for hope for another day. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 16 and verses 19 through 20. I've used this before, but there's another application I want to use with this today. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. Okay, let me help you with this. Some of you have fasted and prayed and done all different types of things to get the answer that you wanted. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And you know what? Didn't happen. Let me take you to these other verses. And I want to help you with that. I want to preach the whole gospel. And when David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead, and therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Verse 20, please. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and
worshiped.
Boy, that worship thing shows up, doesn't it? There's something about it that what you're facing, that we are never dismissed from the opportunity or the obligation to worship God in spite of what you're going through. I just have a few minutes to wrap this up, but would you consider these couple of things that I think will be helpful to you? First of all, in this situation with the child that had died, and of course, if you don't know the circumstances, really, it's important that David didn't do the right thing. It wasn't the child's fault. But David had pleaded for this child to live, and God didn't let the child live. Now, let me just get real with you. There's some things that you people in this room right now have pleaded for God to do, and he did not do it. Let's not play games. Are you still going to worship? Today, you need to release yourself from those hurts and those pains of what you thought was going to happen and allow worship to come forth. It's going to be powerful when we do this in just a few moments. We're almost there. He said some things, his greater resolve. He worshiped and discovered a greater resolve. He says, he won't be coming back to me, I'll be going to him. Here's the thing. God didn't answer it the way he wanted it answered. But he did answer. It's just, you're not going to see him again in this life, but he says, but you know what? God gave him the assurance, but you'll see him in the one to come. Are you willing to accept that as an answer from God, that it didn't come out this side of the way you thought things were going to be? Only things going to heaven is people.
Come on, say it again.
Fifi, Fido, Ezrael, whatever you named it. Very likely. He said, oh, I know my daughter's going to be there. I know she's there. Good luck. And if he is there, don't bring him to my house. You'll be messing up my carpet in my house. Forgive me. Faith does not have control over God, but God gets control over you. This is the last little piece, and I think we can get this done pretty quickly. Chapter 11, verse 32. We get the same rhetoric. And when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, and she fell down at his feet and said, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you heard that somewhere before? But I want to take you a little different emphasis this time. Mary, in her emotion, and not using emotion, but because the place that she was coming from, it impacted her differently. But here's something that I think you will derive from this. We must allow ourselves to live in the reality of constantly abiding in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But his promise to never leave us does not erase pain or misery. There are people in this room right now that I know are in the pain and misery of disappointment, of disillusionment, of different things that you just can't shake. Jesus is here. He'll help you. But before he does, there's something you need to know. The Lord will show his compassion toward the things that will overcome us with grief. The Bible says he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and I think I finally get it after all these years. You'd think I'd get it before now. The smallest scripture in the Bible where it says Jesus wept, why would Jesus even entertain weeping when he's about ready to do the greatest miracle ever? Because Jesus identifies with your pain. Before he does anything, he understands how your heart is heavy. He understands where you cry yourself to sleep over broken things in your life. But he wants to do something to let you know that he's just not ambivalent to that. The Lord will show compassion toward the things that overcome us, and he will still go to the place of our deepest pain. Well, John 11:37, we're just about done. Actually, we're real close to that. Here we go. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Can I deal with the people that are skeptical in your life? Says, oh, you trust in God, believe in God, and all that Christianity stuff? Well, what about this, and what about that, and what about this? What about your finances? They'll just give you all this stuff. It's not going to stop Jesus from working a miracle, because he's about to make them look ridiculous. Well, that being the case, here's what happens. He gives us an opportunity to do something that I want you to be able to do even now. So you must take him to the place of your deepest disappointment. And this is what Jesus says. Where have you laid him? I want you to look at me right now. Where have you laid it? That thing that keeps you captive, that keeps you from really entering into the things of God, where'd you put it? You know what Jesus says? Take me to it. And he's saying that to you right now. I want the choir very quietly to come up on the pulpit, because the things I'm about to say are life-changing to folks. Be very careful, very quiet as you come. We surrender our control over situations by our obedience to do the things that God is calling us to do. But here's the deal. Jesus asked you a question. I want you to hear my question. Where have you laid it? Because Jesus wants to take you there. To the place where you put it away, where you put a stone in front of it, where you don't want to deal with it. And then Jesus does something that's pretty incredible. He gets to that particular place. He's ready to take him there. And before he's able to work a miracle, this is the excuse. Oh, it's okay, it's okay. Because by now, Lazarus stinks. Really. The very thought of having to face that particular situation, that really stinks. Jesus isn't afraid of the things in your life that stink. He wants to turn the stench into his glory being manifest in your life. Then there's a couple other things he does, and I'll do them real quickly. He says it to you. Roll the stone away. You remove the stone. I'll provide the miracle. God wants to take you to that place where you put a stone in front of there to kind of protect you from the thing that was really hurting you. And God says, if you want a miracle, move the stone. I want to say that to some people right here in this room. If you want a miracle, remove the stone of doubt, confusion, and of the place that you feel is going to do you so tremendous harm. Then Jesus does a couple things. Then he calls out with a voice, he calls out, Lazarus, come forth. And out of the grave of what was once dead, and Jesus fulfills where he says, oh no, we're going to bring Lazarus back. But even though he brought him back, there was still something that had to be done. Is loose him. Take the things off of him that you put him in the grave and loose him to be better than he ever was before he went to the grave. Even now, God wants to do it. Bow your heads with me, everybody, everybody, everybody. Wow. There's something rising up in the spirits of people here. They say, well, Lord, what am I going to do with this? Because there's things that I've, after being disappointed where you didn't come through, I put them in the grave. I put a stone in front of them. And I told myself, I'm never going back there again. When Jesus comes along and reminds you of the fact that he didn't meet your expectations, you want to say, why wouldn't you hear? I want to speak even now into your spirit, but even now, of what I thought could not happen, I'm willing to take you to the place of my deepest disappointment and allow your spirit to work in me. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray very intently for some people that are here today that says, you know what, Pastor, that's where I am today. I'm stuck at the experience of things that I put away and I put a stone in front of them and I've locked them up and I don't ever want to visit there again because it's so painful. And honestly, I blame you for it because you could have stopped it and it happened anyway. But somehow the even now presence of the Holy Spirit is here today and I know that you may not fix it, but you'll fix me. And you'll bring me to a place of wholeness again. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the resurrected Christ, in the name of the Almighty God, I speak hope, I speak life, I speak encouragement, I speak resurrection, I speak of a breaking forth of new life, of new joy, of a restoration of lives, of restorations of hearts that they can believe and trust you again with those things that they put away that they thought were dead. Because even now, you can do it. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, I'm ready to trust God today. I'm ready to do it. Lift it up high. You say, I'm ready to do it in spite of all that. Lift it up high. I want to see it. If that's you, lift it up high. Leave it up there for a moment. Because we're about to do some real business with God. There's at least a half dozen more folks. I want to challenge you, right? Leave those folks with their hands up. Leave them up there now because somebody else is going to join you. Because right now, in the power of the Spirit of God, God's going to speak some things into people's lives right now that they will have hope where they never had hope before. Anybody else, join them right now. Just leave them up there just for another moment. Okay, you can put them down.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.